Lots and lots of people travel for holiday celebrations this time of year. It's almost like the gray whales are mimicking us, or maybe it's the people mimicking the whales. Either way, our mammalian cousins are very active in this last week of the year, and that makes them easy to spot in the ocean just off the coastline. Oregon Parks and Recreation sets up a system to help people spot the whales during this period, dubbed Whale Watching Week. Renee Fowler is an interpretive ranger with Oregon State Parks and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me here.
It's good to have you. So what is going on now? What is the activity that the whales are up to this time of year?
That's a great question. There is a lot of excitement right now. Not only are there lots of visitors traveling to the coast, but we also do have gray whales migrating back past our coastline at this time. And this southern migration that they are in, they are traveling from Alaska, which is their feeding grounds, down to Baja California, which is where their breeding and birthing grounds are. And lucky for us, they are near shore migrators, so we have the opportunity to see them as they travel by us.
And so it's, are we talking hundreds of whales, thousands of whales potentially?
We sure are. The population is right around 20,000, so that's a lot of whales traveling. And as far as we know, all of the gray whale population does complete this migration, which is right around 6,000 miles from Alaska down to Baja California. They're traveling about 5 miles per hour, so they're not traveling at a great speed. We do have the opportunity to see them as they come up to breathe, and that's what we're looking for. They're going to be typically anywhere from 1 to 5 miles off the shoreline.
Renee, this sounds like a very predictable movement. I mean, not quite set your watch, but certainly set your calendar by it.
That's correct. The Whale Watching Spoken Here program luckily all began in 1978, so it's been going on for about 36 years now when Don Giles and his colleagues, Bruce May and Denise Herzing, began counting gray whales right out at Yaquinahead Lighthouse, which is in Newport. And they confirmed these whale migrations that routinely happen 2 times during the year. The southbound migration, which they're currently in, peaks in late December, early January, and the northbound migration peaks in March. So we have the opportunity to view them 2 times in the year as they migrate past our coastline. And this migration is very important for them. They need to go down to the breeding grounds in order to breed and birth their calves. There's not any food down in the lagoon, so it's important that they make that northern migration in the spring in order to get back to their feeding grounds.
So are they not eating at this point in their progress?
Good question. That's correct. For the most part, they are not feeding. They have dedicated the months of May through October feeding as much as they can, definitely a feeding frenzy. They are eating 24 hours a day, and so they have fattened up for this migration, which is a round trip of 12,000 miles.
Wow, which is longer than the people will be traveling to take a look at them. We're talking to Renee Fowler at Oregon State Parks about Whale Watching Week on the Oregon coast. Join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned since 1978, Oregon State Parks has been running programs to help people find the whales, it sounds like.
That's correct. If you know what you're looking for, you can definitely spot them. But if you've never seen a whale before, and if you aren't sure of their routine behavior, it can be challenging, especially based on weather conditions. We are lucky enough to have dedicated volunteers staffing 24 locations across the Oregon coastline. The first one actually is up in Ilaco, Washington, at Cape Disappointment in the Lewis and Clark Center. And then the most southern location is going to be in Crescent City, California. These volunteers are staffing these locations with a great view looking for these whales migrating. And those volunteers are there from 10 to 1. And I would like to say a big thank you to these volunteers, any of them that might be listening, because this program would not be possible without them.
How many volunteers do you bring in for this whole process?
Definitely hundreds. We have over 200 volunteers staffing the coastline for this winter migration.
And what sorts of things do they do? I mean, if people are looking for a volunteer to help them understand, what sorts of things can the volunteers provide for them?
Excellent. Well, first of all, the volunteers wear bright yellow vests and armbands so that they're visible. They have a big sign that says Whale Watching Spoken Here, so you can be looking for those as you're traveling along the coastline. These are all great overlooks. Most of them are in state parks. And these volunteers are standing there, no matter what the weather is, watching for whales. So usually we'd like to have two volunteers there, one looking for whales, and then another one that's able to speak with visitors. And what these volunteers are doing, they have a lot of different reference materials. They have a rope that is the size of a gray whale, which is 35 to 45 feet in length, and they are going to help visitors understand a little more about gray whale behavior, what to look for, and hopefully help them spot a whale.
Oh, the rope sounds useful because at least they'll understand that the whale is about this big, about this long.
Exactly, about the size, the in length of a school bus.
And any idea how many people end up showing up? I don't know if it's an informal count or if the volunteers are sitting there with clickers going, but any idea how many people show up to see whale watching on the Oregon coast for this particular week?
We actually do count the visitors that we speak with. There may be people that swing on into one of these locations and don't talk with our visitors, and we don't count them, but on average it's over 7,000 visitors in the winter that we see at these 24 locations.
You mentioned that there are whale watching sites all the way from El Waco down to Crescent City. I mean, I know you don't work for California state parks, but do the whales move farther out away from the shore or something that would make California a little less advantageous?
It gets tough. We're lucky in Oregon because of the beach bill, and so we have public access along the Oregon coastline, so it's a lot easier to staff those locations. It becomes a little more challenging in California. So that's why we mainly focus on the Oregon coastline as far as the Whale Watching Spoken Here program.
All right. Are there some places, Renee, along the coast that are just better than others for seeing? I mean, does elevation have something to do with this? The higher you are, the easier to spot them or something like that?
Well, the elevation does help, but when you are at a higher elevation, you can see further out to the horizon. So for some people, it can be harder to know where to look. I will say you do want to be elevated above the water for sure in order to see the spouting. If you're standing right on the beach, it can be tough looking out to see a spout. So elevation is helpful. The main key is just weather related. We know that the whales are out there migrating, but if it's really foggy, it's very tough to see them when they're multiple miles out. We have lots of different locations that are at different elevations. I am based out of the Depot Bay Whale Watching Center, and we can see about 10 miles out to the horizon. And so we know to look about halfway to the horizon for these whales, whereas if you're up at 500 feet, you're going to be able to see 30 miles out. And so it's a little bit harder when you have that big span of ocean to look for these spouts.
Okay, so if at the original elevation you mentioned looking halfway to the horizon, should you just kind of cut your field of vision off to about a quarter of the horizon if you're up really high?
That's exactly right, Jeffrey. And I will let you know, we do have counts for the first 2 days of our Whale Watch Week, and the higher counts have been down on the southern Oregon coast at Shore Acres and Face Rock, also Cape Farello. And that is mainly due to weather. It was a lot sunnier and nicer where here in the Newport area and up north towards Ecola State Park, they were pretty socked in with fog, and it was quite rainy and windy, so visibility was more challenging.
Renee Fowler, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, interpretive ranger with the Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation. We're talking about Whale Watching Week and Whale Watching Spoken Here and all the activities going on as the gray whales migrate south to give birth. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the process, ask some questions, or share some stories of your own if you've gone out for Winter Whale Watching Week in the past. We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 out and about the region. 800-838-3760. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So the weather really can get to be an issue from the sounds of it. And I mean, is the optimum weather simply a sunny day?
It is. Definitely, if it's nice and calm as far as the ocean waters go, that's best. So even if it's not completely bright and sunny, if you have calm waters and you don't have those white caps, it makes it a lot easier to see that spout, which is going to be about 6 to 12 feet off the surface of the water when they come up to breathe. And you're going to be able to see them spout multiple times within a minute and a half, 2 minutes typically, and then they'll be down for 3 to 5 minutes.
Oh, so they're taking a couple of big exhalations and inhalations, too, obviously, to get ready for another dive.
That's correct.
So given the numbers of volunteers you have and given the time of year this is when people are generally off celebrating the holidays and stuff like that, do you ever have any issues rounding up volunteers for this given time of year and, for that matter, the weather, too?
I have to say we're very lucky because the volunteers that we have are extremely enthusiastic and dedicated to this program, very knowledgeable as well, and most of them look forward to this time of year and don't want to miss it. So we have the opportunity to staff each of our locations each year, and we're always looking for new volunteers. You speak of weather. A lot of these volunteers are traveling from inland and don't necessarily live close to the site location they might be signed up to volunteer at. So weather permitting, sometimes we do have people cancel because they just can't make it over. It's not safe for them to.
Right. Mountain passes, that sort of thing. What sorts of requirements do you have for the volunteers? If somebody's interested in taking part of the program and they can catch a few whale sightings themselves as well as help other people?
Yes, we would encourage anyone who has any interest to please email us or go to our webpage at whalespoken.org. No requirements, just enthusiastic people that would like to learn more about gray whales and their migration patterns, as well as share that knowledge with visitors that come their way. We do facilitate 3 trainings each year. So for new volunteers or experienced volunteers that want a refresher, they're able to come to these trainings and gain that knowledge. And these trainings start typically the end of November or December, and the last one will be in February. So we only have 1 training before the Winter Watch Week.
All right. And that's the, so in March, they're essentially coming back?
That's correct. So some of the gray whales that are down in the lagoons will turn right around just a week or two after they're down there and head back up. So by mid-February, all of the whales have left the Oregon waters, and by the end of February, sometimes we start seeing some of them coming back, some of those early migrators, but they will begin their northern migration, which is spread out over a long period from late February and continues through May. But we see the peak of this migration typically in March, and we do have a spring watch week over spring break, and that is because there will be lots of people traveling, they'll have time off, so it's a great time for us to share our knowledge and excitement with others.
I have to admit, it's very convenient of gray whales to figure out a way to get both Christmas break and spring break hit on their migrations north and south.
I know, I think so too, I agree. And even more convenient, we do have about 200 of these gray whales that actually stop along the Oregon coastline as opposed to completing that full northern migration to Alaska to feed. So we're able to see them in nice and close feeding in the summer as well.
So what in this Winter Whale Watch Week is the best that any watcher can hope to see? I mean, I've been out there a few times myself, and you see the occasional spout here and there, or think you do. Sometimes you're looking close to a rock, and you're actually just seeing spray from waves. if you're new at this, what's the best you can really hope for?
That is an excellent question. The best you can hope for is to see a spout, hopefully the back of the whale as it goes back down under the surface of the water. I will say occasionally these whales will breach. It's not frequent, and it's usually the younger, the juvenile whales. And a breach would be when 3/4 of their body comes out of the water, which is a spectacular show. And that would, of course, be the best sighting. But as far as typical sightings, it is going to be that spout or blow, followed hopefully by a back that we'll be able to see.
How much do binoculars help this process if you have them handy? And is there a particular power that seems to work better than others?
You know, binoculars are helpful for the southern migration because they are further out. And if they are 3 to 5 miles out, it's going to be almost impossible to see them with the naked eye. Any binoculars from a cheaper version to very expensive are going to be helpful. I wouldn't suggest spending a lot of money on binoculars if someone is intending to come over and spot whales with us. 10 by 50 would be a nice power magnification, but not necessary. We would encourage anyone who has the opportunity to come over and speak with us, either at the Depot Bay Whale Center or any of the 24 locations, to head on over even if you don't have binoculars or a scope or anything with you. And hopefully we'll see some of those whales that are migrating right along 1 or 1.5 miles off the shoreline.
And Renee, what are the good recommendations for how to dress? It can get even on sunny days, it can get kind of chilly with the wind blowing in off the ocean.
That is true. And anyone that does live in Oregon knows that layers are always very important and essential. So I would say the more layers, the better. Rain gear has been very important starting the beginning of this watch week. And so if you have a rain coat, rain pants, I would suggest those as well.
Are there any what not to do's? I mean, lists of things that people should not be doing when they're looking for whales, and just to make sure that they keep themselves and other people around them safe?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. It's very important to know the tides. If people are going to be anywhere at a location that is going to be a lower elevation, definitely don't want them out on climbing on rocks or cliffs during high tide. So making sure that you have a tide table handy. We would ask also that people are not feeding the wildlife, such as gulls, other birds, sea lions, any human food, because that's not good for them, and we would like to protect the wildlife that they might be seeing other than whales. Also picking up after themselves and not littering at these locations that they might be at.
Overall, it sounds like there's quite a bit of enthusiasm, particularly among people who have seen their first whale spout.
That's right. It's always exciting. We have volunteers that have been doing this for 10-plus years, and they scream and get very excited every single time they see a spout. And it's very rewarding. I would highly encourage anyone that's able to come over to see what we're all excited about.
And how long will the volunteers be out there?
They will be there from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that will be for the next 3 days, December 29th, December 30th, and December 31st. We will also be staffing the Depot Bay Whale Center right in the center of Depot Bay there, and that'll be open from 10 to 4. We also have an interpretive center up on Cape Foulweather, and that will be open from 10 to 4 as well.
All right, Renee Fowler, Oregon State Parks Interpretive Ranger, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
You bet. Good whale watching.